From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Hello everyone, welcome to our Gospel program. In our program we continue with our series of studies, The Central Doctrines of the Christian Faith. We have reached the final topic, the Word of God. We will be looking at the inspiration of Holy Scripture. We have a further extract from the little book, The Coming of the Son of Man, by E.J. Poole Connor. I'm giving away free copies of this 60-page booklet through the generosity of the Sovereign Grace Advent Testimony Publications to anyone who contacts me. Make sure you get your free copy. The extract deals with the response of the Lord Jesus to the questions about his return posed by his disciples just before the Saviour's crucifixion. After we listen to the extract, we will continue with our study of the Bible and its inspiration. Here's the extract, then, from The Coming of the Son of Man. The question answered last by our Lord was one of such importance that we must linger a while over the reply and consider it somewhat in detail. The disciples' inquiry was, What shall be the sign of thy coming? To which our Lord thus began to respond, When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Verses 15 and 16, Matthew 24. Here we pause for a moment to recall what we have already learned from Daniel's prophecy. We have been told that in the latter days a blasphemous and persecuting king shall arise who shall for a time wear out the saints. To this we add further information found in that prophecy, Daniel chapter 11, verse 31, concerning this king and his allies, namely, that they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. This is the prophecy to which our Lord referred. The sanctuary, or the holy place, is the temple. The abomination of desolation is an idolatrous image, and the purport of the whole is that in the rebuilt temple of Jerusalem the king shall set up an object of idolatrous worship. When this is done, then said our Lord, Let him that is in Judea flee, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. It is evident that this tribulation shall be the outcome of the setting up of the idol. Some will submit and worship, but others will resist and be persecuted. Probably few, if any, Christian believers will suffer in Jerusalem, where the white heat of the furnace will be, owing to our Lord's warning to flee. Nevertheless, the persecuting spirit will be abroad on the earth, and all who keep the commandments of Jesus, rather than the commandments of the anti-Christian king, will doubtless suffer in varying degrees. But for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. And immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Such then is our Lord's answer to the question, What shall be the sign of thy coming? On earth, the idol in the holy place, and the ensuing tribulation. In the heavens, the darkening of the sun and moon, and the falling of the stars. Amid such dread scenes, the day of deliverance and of doom shall be ushered in. Our Lord's discourse did not end here. He proceeded to say that neither men nor angels knew the day and hour fixed in the divine purpose for his return, and that, to the world at large,
his coming would be unexpected and as terrible as the flood. As in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 38. And this would be so, not because the day should come unheralded, for he had just foretold the event which would signify its near approach, but because ungodly men would not regard his warnings.
Please send for your copy of that interesting little booklet, The Coming of the Son of Man. Remember, it's free. We're turning now to the Word of God. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." I believe that the Bible teaches that it is divinely and verbally inspired. When I say that I believe the Bible is the Word of God, then I affirm that I believe it to be of divine authority, completely infallible and absolutely sufficient. In these days, when theological definitions are discountenanced and human speculation has attempted to eclipse divine revelation, it is essential that we define what we mean when we say the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Those who have departed from Orthodox Christian views speak of the inspiration of the Bible, but inspiration only on a level as that ascribed to Shakespeare and other masters of literature. For them, inspiration stands really for human genius. For them, the Bible is the Word of God because particular passages have conveyed from time to time a divine message to man. In other words, at times the Bible becomes a word from God. This theory does not hold the Bible to be the Word of God, but rather declares that under some circumstances, parts of the Bible become a Word of God. These views are wrong. When I speak of the Bible as the Word of God, I do not only mean that it contains the Word of God, but that it is the Word of God. I affirm that the Bible is an authoritative revelation to us from God, in which God's thoughts are conveyed to us with infallible accuracy, and that the very words which clothe the thoughts are from God Himself. This is what is known as verbal inspiration. Let me quote a statement from one of the greatest Christian leaders the Church has ever known, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who exercised his ministry in London toward the end of the last century. Just before he died, he, along with some like-minded brethren, drew up what they called a confession. They were in the midst of a controversy about just what the Bible taught, and they wanted to make known their view to all and sundry. Here's what they had to say about the inspiration of the Bible. "We, the undersigned, banded together in fraternal union, observing with growing pain and sorrow the loosening hold of many upon the truths of revelation, are constrained to avow our firmest belief in the verbal inspiration of all Holy Scripture as originally given. To us, the Bible does not merely contain the Word of God, but is the Word of God. From beginning to end, we accept it, believe it, and continue to preach it. To us the Old Testament is no less inspired than the New. The book is an organic whole. Reverence for the New Testament, accompanied by skepticism as to the Old, appears to us absurd. The two must stand or fall together. We accept Christ's own verdict concerning Moses and all the prophets in preference to any of the supposed discoveries of so-called higher criticism. That is a very concise and accurate statement regarding just what we should believe concerning the inspiration of the Word of God. Only verbal inspiration could secure an infallible revelation. The late Dr. James Gray, who for many years was head of a very famous Bible Institute in the United States, the Moody Bible Institute, used the following illustration concerning inspiration. He tells the story of a stenographer who was asked by his employer to write as follows. "Gentlemen, we misunderstood your letter and will now fill your order." Imagine the employer's surprise, however, when a little later this was set before him for his signature. "Gentlemen, we misunderstood your letter and will not fill your order." The mistake was only of a single letter, but it was entirely subversive of his meaning. And yet the thought was given clearly to the stenographer, and the words too, for that matter. Moreover, the latter was capable and faithful, but he was human, and it's human to err. Had not his employer controlled his expression down to the very letter, the thought intended to be conveyed would have failed of utterance. That is a good illustration of the utter need of verbal inspiration if we are to have an infallible Bible. If in simple matters such verbal superintendence is necessary in order to secure accuracy in a letter going out from a businessman's office, how much more when the mysterious and transcendent revelation of God is being communicated. Without God sovereignly superintending the revelation he intended for man, giving us verbal inspiration, no revelation conveyed to us could be reliable. We'll continue with the subject next week in the will of the Lord. Don't forget to contact us regarding the free booklet on the coming of the Son of Man. Thank you for joining with me around God's Word. Good night, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless His Word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.